like you're lost, don't wanna be found. Are there shackles on your feet that weigh you down? Are you scared there's no way out? Are you sick and tired of falling on the ground? Stand up if you believe in the God of freedom. Somebody give him praise. Stand up if you believe in the name of Jesus. Somebody give him praise.
It is today's best music, Fuel FM 95.9 and 105.5. And like I said a minute ago, we're going to be talking with a good friend of mine, Officer Matt Karchewski from the Grand Traverse County Sheriff's Office. Matt, welcome.
Thank you.
It is National Law Enforcement Week, and so we here at Fuel FM back the blue. And I just wanted to bring Matt in to just really talk about law enforcement, talk about his experience personally, and where we are as a country and a nation when it comes to law enforcement, because Matt, obviously, you know, there's a narrative that is out there that's being pushed, I should say.
Sure.
That, quite frankly, I think we need to just change the educator, just educate people on. And I think for the most part, people in general, wouldn't you say, understand that law enforcement is necessary?
Yes, absolutely. First of all, thanks for having me on. Thanks for being a good friend of mine and always encouraging me. And as far as being a police officer and stuff, I know that you've talked to me on a personal level about these matters. I would say in Grand Traverse County, though, since all this, negative light on being a police officer began nationwide, Grand Traverse County has been an amazing community. I had someone stop me in the store, want to pray with me, put their arm around me, prayed that I was safe. And I know numerous officers and cops that we have here have had the same experience. And if I'm at Menards or at any store around here and I park my car and do some paperwork, or I'm waiting to just go in and handle a call and I'm updating something on my computer, one, two, maybe three people will stop, knock on my window, and they'll say, "Hey, we love you. We support you. Just want you to know we have your back. We appreciate what you do." That means a lot. And it's been working in this community has been wonderful through this time, I would say.
Yeah. First of all, before I begin to that, just let you know, Matt's a huge Fuel FM fan. So that helps.
Yes.
But let's kind of go back a little bit so people get to know who you are too.
Sure.
When did you first know that you wanted to be in law enforcement, and what was that process to get where you are?
Yes. I never in my wildest dreams wanted to be a police officer or ever thought I would be a police officer. I was an elementary school teacher. My wife and I moved up here. She received a job at Grand Traverse Academy that led us to meet some friends. She was a teacher there. They had us over for dinner, and I met Eric Bohr, who was a city police officer that was her husband. I had quit teaching, and I wasn't sure what I was going to do. And he and I began talking and about his police work. And then he said, you should think about becoming a cop. And I was like, I should? And I was like, well, what do I do? Where do I start? He said, there's a police academy right here in town. And the next week I went over there. I talked to the coordinator. My wife and I had an interview with him, and the rest was history. But that was the first time I had ever even considered it when he mentioned that to me. So
how old were you at that point?
I was 29, maybe.
Wow.
Never even considered it.
That's interesting.
It is.
I didn't know that story. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And I have to give a shout out to my wife. She really, like, after we left the meeting with the coordinator of the police academy, she was like, I think this is for you. I think you would do well. I think you would enjoy it. So she was a big encouragement.
Yeah. Your wife's amazing too, by the way. She's taught a few of my children.
Yes.
She's now at Traverse City Christian School, which is pretty cool. So your name's too long, so they just call her Mrs. K.
Yes, they do.
But shout out to Mrs. K. A cool story about how you got started. That was pretty good. This will all be in a podcast form too, by the way, so you can hear all the interview on demand later. But I wanted to ask Matt real quick, like, some of the crazy stories, maybe crazy calls that you've been on. I want people to understand what it means and what it feels like to be a police officer, because you just shared with me over the break here one of your stories. It was quite, I guess it could be quite emotional, actually, if you really let it be. But just share a few for the folks at home.
Well, funny story. When I first became a police officer, I was working in a real rural county where you might be the only police officer on a midnight shift by yourself for the entire county. So if you need help, nobody's coming. Sometimes a deputy from another county, but that could take, you know, 30, 40 minutes. So, and I got a call of a man that crashed his vehicle into someone's house. He was a drunk driver. And I arrived there and I found this guy drunk in the car. And I, let me back up a little bit. I was as naive as a adult male could be. When I became a police officer, I knew nothing. I was this Christian school kid, went to a Christian private college, not around anything, let alone met a guy who's on parole. Never in my wildest dreams. And he looked the part, you know, the kind of like a biker, long ponytail. And they teach you all these moves in the police academy, these pressure points. And I tried a couple of those on him, and he looked at me and he was like, if you touch me again, I'm coming out of this car and we're going to fight and you're going to get beat up. He used really different language, though, as you can imagine.
That's for a whole different radio show.
So I was a little bit shocked, and I'm like, okay, well, what do I do now? I mean, I don't know what to do. You know,
because now it's like real life. This is not just training.
I just got out of the police academy. Here we go. And I was like, these pressure points for sure don't work. What they taught me in the police academy, these things don't work.
Scrap that one.
He's laughing at these. So we ended up wrestling. You know, I wrestled a couple years in high school. So I just reached in, thought, well, let's just, I guess we're just going to have to wrestle. And I called my dispatcher and I said, I need help. We're going to fight. Me and this guy are going to fight. And he told me that he's going to try to get some of our other deputies out of bed. And I was like, well, that's not going to help. That's going to take a long time. So. Yeah. But we were able to go to the ground for a little bit and do a little scrapping, and I was able to arrest him. But it was just an eye opener as a naive man. I was like, oh wow, here we go.
Like, so this is a real deal, kind of a thing.
Yeah. So it was just funny, just me being so naive and like put in that position, and then, you know, years ago, and now here we are.
Yeah. National Law Enforcement Week. And we at Fuel FM back the blue for sure. And so Officer Karchewski is a friend of mine, and I've known him for a few years now. And just we just want to show our support. So I wanted to bring him in tonight and just kind of share about law enforcement, what it's like, because obviously there's a narrative out there that we want to make sure to have a proper perspective on. So what's something else that's kind of happened that maybe has impacted your career, even your life personally?
Sure. Well, here's another story that was kind of crazy that happened to me right away when I became a police officer is I went to this call of there was a snowmobile crash where a man was severely injured, and it was in the winter and it was a rural area. And I got there and the young man was clearly had passed. So it was a pretty traumatic scene, and he was there with his three brothers snowmobiling, and they took the brother that had passed away in the ambulance and rushed him to the hospital. And I was there dealing with the other two brothers. It was just the three of us out on this two track in the snow, nobody else around. And I'm trying to get the story from them, because we're going to do an investigation into what happened, the crash into the tree with the snowmobile. And suddenly the younger brother, and these aren't older gentlemen, these are, you know, 30s. He reaches back and he grabs his head and he screams. And I was kind of watching him, you know, it's a shock. He's in shock and he's struggling to process what just happened to his other brother.
Sure.
And he does it again and he does it again. And I finally go over and I'm like, hey, you know, let's sit down, take it easy, calm down. And he goes straight down and stops breathing, no pulse. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, he's dead. So me and the other brother begin CPR on him. They're trying to get another ambulance in this rural county. That's going to take a long time. and we do CPR on him. So, you know, I had just become a police officer, so I'm kind of stressed and I'm trying to get him to do the breaths while I'm doing the compressions. And
this is his own brother he's got to do this on.
Correct. Yeah. After he just did CPR on his other brother who had just died. Yeah. That's minutes prior. So he ends up passing, and it was, you know, stressful for me because every time it was the brother's turn to do the breaths, he couldn't do it. And I just had to encourage him, you know, you can do it. You can do it. Because it's a rough process doing CPR on somebody. It doesn't look like it looks on TV. It can be pretty brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that just goes to show you that I think that police officers are a special breed of people that God has raised up to do that job. That in a normal everyday scenario, somebody would react a totally different way probably, but you're trained, right? You're trained in how to keep your cool. But what is it as a police officer that experiences something like that? Like, what do you do after that when you get back in your car and now you're cruising down the road doing your normal job thing, but you have that in the back of your mind that that's an experience now that you'll never forget? How do you process that kind of stuff? And where does your faith come into that?
Sure. Sure. That was I believe that was the first time I had watched somebody die in front of me. And then, you know, it was kind of stressful. There was two people that died that night. I thought about it for a while, to be honest. And, you know, you go home, I talk to my wife about it, tell her about it. But you do get used to it, and you just sometimes, you know, police officers just put it away and they don't talk about it at all. And as far as your faith and my faith in God, you know, when you believe that, you know, things happen for a reason and God's in control, that, you know, that helps bring peace upon any situation that you go through.
Have you ever had opportunities to use your faith in an instance with somebody, like on a call or anything? Is that something that you try not to mix just because of the nature of being a police officer?
Sure. Sure. Yes. I am aware of, you know, maybe somebody wouldn't want me to mix those, but I've taken numerous people that are having a really bad day that have to go to the hospital for whatever reason, just some mental issues or something like that. And, you know, these people are depressed. They're struggling. They don't know where to go. Maybe there's an addiction problem. And I've told people flat out, you know, God loves you. Because some of them, I think they don't think any human loves them.
Right.
And maybe that might be true about them. So yeah, I do. I tell people that when I feel the need and when I'm in those situations.
Yeah. I know that might sound a little depressing tonight. I don't mean it to sound this way with our interview because, you know, we're trying to be positive, encouraging, but I also want reality as well. And I think sometimes we see what happens on TV and we think that's what it means to be a police officer. And I think there's way more to it, at least in my inexperienced opinion. And I wanted people to just hear from an actual law enforcement officer what it's like, what you go through, what you deal with. And you have so many different scenarios in a day that you could encounter, I'm sure. You know, what do you say to somebody out there? Maybe they're listening tonight and they've dreamed of being an officer, but now they're on the fence because of what's going on in America. And you know, you hear this mass exodus in the New York City Police Department, you know?
Sure.
I can't say I blame them, first of all, but what do you say to someone who's on the fence? They want to join, they're afraid to join, whatever.
If my son or daughter came to me and they said, I'm on the fence, or if a friend came to me and they said, I'm on the fence, my opinion would be, if you're on the fence about becoming a police officer, I would suggest you don't do that. Mm. It would be something that you shouldn't do. It's not a job for anybody. We've hired people that I've seen go through the FTO, the field training program, and not make it and not work out for whatever reason. There's various reasons, but obviously I've been here around 15 years, so I've seen that a lot, and that does happen. So it's not a job for anybody, but I don't think it's a job that is so remarkable that nobody can do it.
Right.
I mean, you just have to really enjoy talking to people, mainly enjoy communicating to people, enjoy getting to know people, meeting new people, being in situations where you have to calm people down, and just being the voice of reason a lot of times.
Yeah.
And then keeping your cool at all times.
Right. Is there more scenarios where you're more of a mediator of like the he said, she said kind of a scenario?
Sure, sure, absolutely. There's numerous times where police officers, myself or someone else, you have to tell both parties. You say, I'm listening to your side. I'm listening to your side. I'm right here in the middle. I'm not saying you're right. I'm not saying you're right. I don't agree with either one of you. I'm just going to take in what you both said. So yeah, you have to be impartial at all times.
Because emotions are flying and
sure.
Yeah. All that stuff.
But it's a fun job. That's what makes it a fun job, because you don't know what's going to happen, and you get into a situation where you have to, actively help somebody or de-escalate something. And it's kind of fun in that regard.
Yeah.
If you enjoy that type of thing.
That's right. If you're not much of a people person, you may want to stay away from that. Any car chases?
Yes. I've been in many. So over the years. And I mean, the ones I initiated. Obviously there's many more where I helped out.
Okay.
I didn't actually try to pull the person over and then they took off.
Sure.
So
how stressful can that be? Like trying to pursue somebody.
I was recently in one over the winter, and I told myself, this is why I don't work when it gets dark out. I've never felt stress. I think it's just, you just react and I don't get all worked up. Just want to stay calm and.
Sure. That's how you stay alive.
Yes.
What keeps you in the job?
Well, I still love it.
You've been here how long, first of all? You've been in the job?
I've been a police officer around 15 years.
Okay.
I still enjoy it. Like I said, previously I was an elementary school teacher, and I enjoyed that. I enjoyed teaching the kids, spending time with the kids, but I obviously changed careers, and when I walk my driveway and get in my police car, almost every day I'm happy to do so, and I'm looking forward to the day. So, and there's cases that I handle where it reminds me, this is pretty awesome. This is why I do this.
Yeah.
Recently I handled a case where a man had assaulted his stepdaughters over a period of years and years. And, so this is an evil man. This is a very bad man. I dealt with the victims. I got to know their families, and it becomes super personal, which is what I like it. I like it becoming personal to me. And it turned out I did some checking and I found another family years and years prior. Same thing happened with three other young ladies, same exact scenario. So this is a very evil person. And when I finished my investigation and got, all the warrants for him, he fled. He was gone. He went southwest to a state, and I didn't know where he was. So I asked for some help from fugitive team and the U.S. Marshals, and I was at home weeks later, and one of the U.S. Marshals sent me a text, and he was like, we got him.
Wow.
And so I was in my kitchen, and I was like, this pumping, I was so excited. I was so happy. And it was like, that's a fulfilling feeling to get some retribution, to get justice for those young girls.
Yeah.
So that's, if you ask why, I mean, that's a big why I
right.
do this.
No, that's amazing. So what do you think it is, that's going on in our country right now, in your opinion? Why is it so volatile? Why is the outlook like defunding the police? Like, what does that even mean, first of all? Because we hear it all the time. Are people really advocating to remove law enforcement officers from our society?
I don't think they really are. Maybe it's just, a political statement right now in this climate.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody in their right mind thinks that's a great idea.
That's right.
Whether you're on this side or that side,
Yeah.
Democrat or Republican, I don't think anybody truly thinks it's a good idea or truly thinks that's where we're headed.
Yeah. And I mean, like in every profession, right? There's somebody who isn't the greatest plumber. He messes up a job, or
sure.
there's a construction worker. Someone has a house built and there's something wrong with it. Doesn't sure. mean he's a bad person. Just means he had a bad day or something. Now listen, there are bad people out there. Like you just described one that has been brought to justice.
Absolutely.
But there's going to be some people who have their human nature come out when they're performing their duties as a police officer that's going to get attention. But why does it seem like who selects which cases to highlight nationally? Like, why that one? What is it about that? It always kind of boggles my mind.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't have the answer to that. I think it's whatever can get more views on TV or in the news.
Shock factor.
But obviously there are police officer mistakes on purpose or by accident, but that's just like any job. There are people that make mistakes, and almost always, you know, the police officer answers for those mistakes mm-hmm. when they're made.
Yeah. When you hear things like the Chauvin case, is that water cooler talk around the sheriff's office? I mean, do you guys discuss things like that? Do you kind of like brush it off and go, well, that's Minneapolis. It's not here in Grand Traverse County or Northern Michigan, or what? Well, how do you guys?
It's come up. I've discussed it with a few of our, they've discussed it with me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we do chat about it.
Yeah.
But we're all in agreement about that specific case.
You're in agreement that he's getting what he deserves, you think?
Sure. Sure. He made a mistake. Whether he meant to or not,
mm-hmm.
I guess that's...
The result is still
between,
there.
Yeah, it's between him and God.
Yeah.
But the result is there, correct.
It's National Law Enforcement Week, and Fuel FM backs the blue. And so we're here to support Deputy Karchewski and all your fellow officers out in Northern Michigan here.
Thank you.
Just, we appreciate keeping us safe. We appreciate the sacrifices that you make, your family makes, because every day that you put that vest on, it's a risk, right? And we're grateful that you're follower of Jesus as well, and God's kind of given you a little bit of a mission in that as a police officer as well, right?
Sure.
That's good.
We could call it that. Thanks for having me. I appreciate
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here.
It's a lot
and
of fun.
Be safe and God bless you.
Thank you.
This is Fuel FM, today's best music.